القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Some tips and reminders, and that is the etiquettes of, regarding how we should be sleeping. The day that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has designed, that is out of the 24 hours, part of it is day, part of it is night. The night, he says in Quran, فَعَلَقُ الْإِسْبَاحُ وَجَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا. The night has been designed to sleep. No matter how much we work during the day, a few hours of rest at night, it fixes us, keeps us happy, comfortable, relaxing, and ready, prepared to work for another day. If someone works at night or doesn't sleep at night, no matter how much he sleeps during the day, that rest, it's never complete. No matter how many hours he wakes up from that night sleep which he has lost, he will never be fresh. It's like charging an iPad with a USB connection through your laptop. It's going to take ages and it will not be fully charged. The same thing is with this. Night, Allah has made it in a special way that you feel relaxed when you rest, even for 1 hour or even 2 hours, and that will be sufficient. For that, there are adab, there are etiquettes that have to be observed. First of all, that when we keep ourselves awake, doing nothing, chatting, surfing all at night, that has to be stopped. The system has to be fixed. And for that, there are some mustahabbat. Among the things that are makruh when a person is sleeping is to sleep after Fajr and before sunrise. That is the time when Allah showers His special favors and blessings on every individual. Special time. And if we are awake at that time, we will benefit from those special graces and favors of Allah. And if we are asleep at that time, we are losers. So that is that special time. And one of the other things that is said, it's that because Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala, he is that waliyullah al-a'zam, he is that perfect human being who is awake at that time. And because he is supplicating to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is a link that has been created between this earth and the heavens. As a result of that link, we have a heavy downpour of special favors of Allah. And at that time, when we are awake, we also benefit from it. That is the reason, one of the reasons that is said, that be awake at that time so that you benefit. Sleeping between Maghrib and Isha, that is makruh. Sleeping in the state of janabat is makruh. Sleeping in a mosque is makruh. Sleeping all alone in a house where there is no one, sleeping in that home is also makruh. Makruh meaning disliked. Sleeping with an unwashed hand after having a meal, that is makruh. Sleeping on your left side, on your belly, is disliked, that's makruh. So all this was regarding things that are makruh when you want to sleep. Certain things are mustahab, that are recommended. That is, you get a reward for that. At the same time, your health also will be safe. That is, when it is hot, to have a nap, a sleep before Zuhr. That is mustahab. After Zuhr prayers till Asr, which is known as Qaynula, if we can have a nap, which is almost impossible over here, with this 9-to-5 business, no one can sleep at that time. That is mustahab. To perform a wuzu before going to bed is mustahab. Using the washroom before going to bed is mustahab. Sleeping on the right side with your hand under your head This is mustahab, to sleep in that way. Reciting du'as, Quran, as much as it is possible is mustahab. And if all of that wasn't possible, we were dead tired, we couldn't say anything, any surahs that we had memorized, then the best way is to recite at the tasbih of Fatima Zahra alayha salam. Before going to bed, and with that wuzu and with that one tasbih, all your night will be counted as worship. And riwayat says that if someone passes away at that night when he has performed a wuzu, that person will get the reward of someone who has been martyred in the way of Allah. Just for one simple tip, observing it. Now, those of us who are tough in waking up in the mornings, we find alarms are being set, maybe the mobile phones or other alarms, but no one gets up, no one wakes up. Or when it comes to parents waking their children up, they also don't get up. For that, there is a wake-up call alarm in Quran, and that is ayah number 110 from Suratul Kahf. Ayah 110 from Suratul Kahf. Recite it before going to bed, and whatever time you want to get up, you will get up. That is, the word of Quran says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَٰهُكُمْ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. That is that one ayah recited sincerely before going to bed, ayah 110, Surah Al-Kahf, and you will get up at whatever time you want to get up. Salawat. We talked about the wasiyya of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his companion Abazar. And there, many tips, many reminders, many teachings were mentioned. Among them was respecting, dignifying the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we say glorifying, respecting, or ta'zeem, taqdees, that is showing the utmost respect to Allah, that is wajib, we have to. Same applies to the name of Allah. The same applies to ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam. Names of ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam, all of them have to be respected. Bushr, one of the people living during the time of our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa sallam, is a person who is polluted in all types of sins. And the sins that were famous for him at that time were inviting these singer maids to sing and dance for him. On one occasion, it so happens that he is in the streets of Medina, and there he sees the name that is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was written on a piece of paper and on the ground, on the earth. Bushr, he picks it up, respects it, and sticks it into the wall so that the name of Allah does not fall in between the feet of people who are walking in the streets. That night he has a dream. A caller says, Bushr, you respected my name, you will be exalted, you will be dignified. Only for that little action that he respected that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That very day, our sixth Imam, he was passing by the house of Bushr, and he heard the singers singing. He asks the servant, the slave who was there, whose house is this? He says it belongs to a master. Imam says if he was a true master, he would have been otherwise. A person has to be different. And then Bushr says to him, who was it at the door? Who were you talking to? And the slave, he says, there was someone at the door. And he said that if he was otherwise, if he was a true slave of Allah, because he said he was Abdullah, if he was a true slave of Allah, he would have been otherwise. He says, did you not recognize him? He says, no. Bushr was upset. Without any footwear, he runs in the streets of Medina behind Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Says Imam, forgive me, I did wrong. All these sins that I was committing, inviting these girls to sing for me, to dance for me. From now on, I will not do it. I will never repeat it. Bushr, he was without any footwear. He ran behind Imam Sadiq to get forgiven for his repentance. He was forgiven. From then onwards, he never wore any footwear until he died. He says, because I was forgiven by the Imam that repentance was sought without me wearing anything in my feet, and I remained the same until I died. And as a karamat to that person who did so much of wrong, Allah made it as such that no animal ever dropped its droppings from where Bushr passed. And his name is remembered as Bushr Hafi. Bushr Hafi means someone who is without footwear. Bushr was his name. So just for that exalting, respecting the name of Allah, a person, how he was exalted. In another report here, being quoted from Saduq, he says that سَمِعْتُ أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَقُولُ مَرَّتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ بَذِيَّةٌ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ يَأْكُلْ وَهُوَ جَالِسْ. Says, an ill-mannered woman, she came by Rasulullah. Rasulullah was having his meal. He was seated and he was having his meal. Now this woman, the thing which we learn from here is that names of ma'sumeen, they have to be dignified. They have to be respected. Allah, he never addresses his prophet by his name, never in Quran. Throughout the book, if you see, only on one occasion has the name been mentioned, and that too addressing that this is the prophet and those who are with him, these are the qualities. Allah never addresses Rasulullah by his name, says, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, O Messenger, Ya Ayyuhar Rasul, O Apostle. These are the titles which he uses to honor and to dignify the name of Rasulullah. Now here this ill-mannered woman, she comes and starts the conversation with the Prophet, addressing him by his name. Here Rasulullah, and says to the Prophet that, are you a Prophet? If you were a Prophet, you shouldn't be eating food sitting on the floor like that. If you are a prophet, then all those royalties, that those formalities should have been observed. How come you sit like slaves and eat? This is how she addressed the prophet. فَقَالَتْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ إِنَّكَ لَتَأْكُلُ أَكْلَ الْعَبْدِ وَتَجْلِسُ جُلُوسَهُ فَقَالَ لَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِنِّي عَبْدٌ وَأَيُّ عَبْدٍ أَعْبَدُ مِنِّي. In reply, the prophet says, I am a servant. And who could be a servant more than me? There is no one lower than me, he wants to say. Qala, then she says that, can I have some food from your plate? Rasulullah, he offers some food which he was eating. That was a piece of bread. She says, no, I want that what is in your mouth. Rasulullah gives it to her. Now this hadith ends over here. Then our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, he says, as a result of that association with that one luqma, that one munch of bread which she took from the mouth of Rasulullah, she never ever got sick until she died. That is because of that association, connection, which was created by Rasulullah and that piece of bread. Otherwise, that piece of bread, it's that regular piece of bread. It wasn't anything miraculous. It wasn't from the heavens. It is from this earth, the same grain, the same wheat, cooked in the same oven, and made of that same clay. But because it was connected to Rasulullah, it had that huge impact on her that she never got sick until she died. So that is as a result of that bond which we have with Rasulullah. The same thing is with the teachings of Ma'sumin. Word of Allah, which is Quran, if we hear it, if the ayat are mentioned and uttered through the right channel, through the right source, through the right medium, which is pure, which is sincere, we find that it has an effect on our hearts. But if it was fake, it will have no effect, no matter how many Qurans are recited by an individual on another, it will have no effect. As it was mentioned yesterday, like a real jewelry and like a fake jewelry. That fake jewelry, we think it's a look-alike of a jewelry, but it is not. That real gold, that real silver, that real diamond, it's different. The fake one, it's worthless. The same thing is with the teachings that we have from Ma'sumin alayhi salam. When we get a message from the two lips of Rasulullah, that carries weight. When the message is from Ahlul Bayt and it gets to us from the right sources, that is the one which carries weight. In this wasiyah, at this point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Abadar, إِنَّكُمْ فِي مَمَرِّ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ فِي آجَالٍ مَنْقُوسَةٍ. Says Abadar, in this passage of night and day, that is, the days are passing, we were born, and all the way we have come to the point where we are now. And as the days come in and as the nights pass, another day is gone and we come nearer and closer to our death. So the life that Allah has given to us, it is decreasing day by day. Says that this time it's decreasing. وَأَعْمَالٌ مَحْفُوظَةٌ وَالْمَوْتُ يَأْتِي بَغْتَةً. A'mal are the actions. Says the actions, they are saved. If these actions are good, a good is being saved. And if the actions are bad, bad is being saved. He says that regardless of the actions, whatever you are doing, walmaut yati baghtatan. Baghtatan means suddenly. No one knows when and at what time will that death come. Will that death intervene between us and our life? So, when everything is a suspense, a'mal that we are doing, we do not know whether or not they are being accepted by Allah. Faith and belief that we have, teachings that we get, if all that is a suspense and all that is unknown, death is also another suspense on top of that. So we have to fix ourselves, correct ourselves right from this very moment. وَمَنْ يَزْرَعْ خَيْرًا يُوشَكُ أَنْ يَحْسُدْ خَيْرًا وَمَنْ يَزْرَعْ شَرًّا يُوشَكُ أَنْ يَحْسُدَ نَدَامَةً وَكُلْ مِزَارًا مِثْلُ مَزَرًا. Says, if you do good, good is what you will benefit. And if you do bad, what you have to expect is that bad. Whatever we bow today, it's whatever we will get tomorrow. One of the things to which Ma'sumin give a lot of importance, it's this life that we are living in. There is a stage which is known as youth. Youth, they say that it is 35 years maximum. Sometimes they extend it to 40, 45. And from the age of 40, they say that it's that official day or date when we move towards our journey to the hereafter. Or maximum, they say 45. And after that 45, a person is officially on the standby list heading towards Akhirah. So if that is the case, and in the riwayat, they say that if a person reaches the age of 40 and he hasn't fixed himself, shaitan pats his head and says, Barakallah, good, congratulations, that salvation is closed upon you. So for that reason, we have to keep all these reminders in our mind and these teachings of Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam, that maut, which is death, it comes suddenly. No matter how many arrangements we make, no matter how much safe we want to be, when it comes, it comes. Many times we find that there is nothing wrong, all of a sudden a person dies. And many a times you find that earthquakes, they come, people, they are buried, after 10, 15 days, 2 weeks, we find someone is found alive. So that death is designed by Allah, it is upon Him. When to kill someone and when to make someone live for how long? So we do not know. When that is a suspense, it is upon us that we have to correct this very moment that we are living in as it was mentioned earlier in that majlis, tasweef, which is postponing, it is haram, it is not allowed. We cannot postpone and say that later when I get older, I'll start fixing myself, I'll start doing this and I'll start doing that. That postponing is another sin on top of all the sins that we have done by delaying tawbah. Repentance, it's fawri, it's wajib fawri, and we have to do it instantly. Then he says, Ya Abada, Inna Rabbaka Azza wa Jal Yubahil Malaika bi thalathati nafar. Says Allah Abaza, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is proud or boasts about the existence of three people. Who are they? Rajulun fi ardi kafir fa yu'adhin thumma yuqeem thumma yusalli. That you find someone in a barren land, there is no one with him. When it's time for prayers, he gives the azan, he says the iqamat, and he stands for prayers. So Allah is proud of such a person. And then says, رَجُلٌ فِي أَرْضٍ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ The Almighty to the angel says, أُنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ عَبْدِي يُسَلِّي Look at the servant of mine. He says his prayers. وَلَا يَرَاهُ أَحَدٍ And no one is looking at him. غَيْرِي Apart from myself, فَيَنْزِلُ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ يُسَلُّونَ وَرَاءَهُ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لَهُ إِلَى الْغَدِ Says Allah sends 70,000 angels to say their prayers with that person who has recited that adhan and that iqamat all alone. Says they join him in prayers and until the next day they come back. One of the teachings that we have over here is that when we stand for prayers, it is mustahab that we recite the adhan. And hadith it says that if you recite one azan before your prayers, a row of angels stand behind you in worship, and the length of that row is from the east of this creation of Allah to the west. Not this earth, not the planet earth, east of the creation to the west, just for one recital of that one azan. And then he says if you top your azan with an iqamah, says two rows of angels, same length behind you, they will join in prayers. And when you've got so many angels who are joining us in prayers, what a huge big reward we get, we do not know. One of the other things that we learn from Ma'sumin alayhi wasalam is that no matter what you do, present it to one of the Ma'sumin. We've got a chapter in our ahadith which says that the a'mal, the actions you do, present them to Rasulullah, present them to Imam al-Azim, present them to one of the ma'sumin like Hazrat Zahra alayha salam, and the impact is huge, it's different. For example, Ayat al-Kursi, to that so much of emphasis and importance has been given that you recite an Ayat al-Kursi, what and what not you will be blessed with. Here Ma'soom says that you recite an Ayat al-Kursi for one of the marhumeen of yours, you will get the reward. Then he says, if you recite that one Ayat al-Kursi and present it to Rasulullah, and you ask him to distribute it or send it to your marhum, says, for that one Ayat al-Kursi which you recited, Allah creates an angel who will stand and praise and glorify you until the day of judgment and ask for your forgiveness and for the forgiveness of that marhum until the day of judgment, just for that one ayat of kursi. Now, if we change the intentions that we have, many a times you see in majalis a list is mentioned, is given a list of mu'mineen to recite a fatiha for them. It's good. But if we change it to a different way, then instead of having one fatiha being recited for only five mu'mineen, we say mu'mineena wal mu'minat. That is, from the first who came into existence to the last who will come into existence. Assuming 10 billion mu'mineen and mu'minat. That one suratul fatiha which you will recite, that will be multiplied by that 10 billion and all of them will benefit from it. All of them will pray for you. So we, when we recite and send it to 5 people and benefit from 5, is that more? Or we send it to 10 billion and benefit from 10 billion? That is more. That is how things have to be changed in our understanding. Ma'asumeen, they teach us that our intentions, they should be high. Aspirations should be huge. Now if you have a light turned on in this room and one person is sitting under that light, he will benefit. If you have 500 people, they will also benefit from that same light. So we are doing something. We are reciting a surah. Why not get more reward, more sawab, by including all mu'mineen and mu'minat? That way we have done a job and we have prayed for everyone and we have received the prayers of everyone by reciting those surahs. Then says, for this one adhan and that one iqama which this person has recited, Allah sends a swarm of angels, 70,000 in number, and they pray with him and they seek forgiveness for him until the next day, min dhalika al-yawm. وَالرَّجُلٌ قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَصَلَّى وَحْدَهُ فَسَجَدَ وَنَامَ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ فَيَقُولُ تَعَالَى أُنظُرُ إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ رُوحُهُ عِنْدِي وَجَسَدُهُ سَاجِدٌ. Sometimes you find that a person, he wakes up and it's time for the night prayers or it's before the fajr and he goes into sajda, performs a sajda. Allah, he is proud of that person. Addresses the angels and says that, look at that servant of mine in sajda. And so long as he is sajid and his body is with me, that special grace of Allah is with that individual. Or sometimes you find that in a battlefield, everyone has fled away and there is one soldier, he is fighting with all his might in the way of Allah. Allah is proud of that third person, that who gives away his life for the sake of God. So the things that we learn from this glorious saying is this importance that we have to give towards prayers. Prayers, it's the beautiful gem that has been given to us and we have to take good care of it. Extra care. Every part of this salat that we have, every component of it, it's divine. It is sent to us by Allah. Nothing is from our own pockets. When we say Takbiratul Ihram, that Takbiratul Ihram is wahi. It's told to us by Allah. Reciting Suratul Hamd, ayat of Quran, are words of Allah. Ruku, the format of ruku, that is something which is taught to us by Allah, which was sent forth through Jibreel. Sajda, tashahud, salam, takbir, everything is divine. So these components that we have in salat, if we put them together in the right way, it will attract the mercy of Allah. Now the reason why our prayers don't attract the mercy of Allah, it's because the components are fine, prayers are faulty. That we don't know how to put these components together. It's like a cell phone, you have a battery, you have to charge it, you need a SIM card, and you put them all together and you have a package with your service provider, that cell phone will work. Otherwise, no matter how, if you don't have a service provider, it won't work ever. So you have to put these components together to attract the mercy of Allah. And for that reason, we are told by our ulama that you have to train yourself a lot. A lot of training is required. Hadith says that throughout your life, if you lived for 80 years, for example, Ma'soom says this 80 years of yours, 15 years, you were not bonded. So 65 years multiplied by 5 times prayers, how much will that be? Multiply that by 365 days a year. It's going to be a huge big number. So from that number, assuming 10,000 prayers that we had to offer in our lifetime, Imam says that out of these 10,000 prayers, if only one or if only two of them were correct, by those one or two correct prayers of yours, all the faulty ones will be forgiven. All the wrong ones will be waived. So it seems that it's a huge big challenge that Imam says one or two. That is, offering that one and two prayers throughout our life, it's a tough and it's a difficult job. So get that one or two prayers correct, we have to fix our prayers. The mood and the manner in which we say the prayers, the recitals in the prayers, the prayer itself, qiraat, etc., all of that has to be correct. Only then will that be able to attract the mercy of Allah. One of the teachings our ulama, they teach us, is that we have to invest in our prayers. Investment meaning, if I invest, for example, 2 minutes in my Fajr prayers, 3 minutes in my Zuhr prayers, or 5 minutes in my Maghrib, that has to be increased by a few minutes. Especially one of the prayers, we have to invest a lot more than the others. The easiest one is the morning prayer, which is just 2 rak'at, and then there's no one, no disturbance, no distraction. When we stand for prayer, we have to be careful that all this distraction that we have, it has to be away. Nowadays, many of these companies, what they do is that they deactivate the mobile services when you are in that job, within that vicinity. Or sometimes they deactivate your internet. You can't access your internet, just to reduce that disturbance so that the productivity of the job is increased. There was an article just last week, and that is what they were saying, that just to increase, because this mobile phone, the cell phones that we have, it's just distraction. Every time all these fingers are working, texting, emailing, receiving, sending, constantly a person is distracted. To reduce that distraction, they deactivate the services in the work areas. What we have to do is that when we stand for worship, we have to be careful, the laptop is off, the cell phones are off, there is nothing to ring and distract and disturb, and a few minutes of that time has to be only and only for Allah. Especially when it comes to the Fajr prayers, we are told that if you take 2 minutes of your time to say your Fajr prayers, increase it to 5 or 6 minutes. And try to offer this prayer in a way that every recital of it, it's uttered correctly, sincerely. Every mustahab is added on to this 2 rak'at prayer. During the day, we may not get that time. But for that Fajr prayer, it is possible. One of the ways is that the recitals that we have, increase the dose to 7. Instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdi once, increase it to 7. Because this forehead that Allah has given, it has to bow down in sajda. And the more it bows down in sajda, the more a person benefits himself. And the status which Allah loves is when a person is in sajda, as it was mentioned in this glorious saying as well. Sajda again, multiply the recital to 7 times. Increase the dose to 7. The same thing with the second, the same thing with the next ruku and the 2 sajdas, multiply the dose by 7. And it may so happen that when we start this prescription, we may forget the next day. Or we may forget in that very prayer. Doesn't matter, because initially it's going to be difficult. But if you do forget, then increase the dose of these zikr from 7 to 14 in sajda. And if you've forgotten the first sajda, then increase it to 21 in the second sajda. And if you've forgotten everything and all of a sudden you were reminded in your last sajda that I had to increase the dose of all of these recitals to 7, then make a 49 zikr in that last sajda and you have made up whatever you have lost throughout your prayer. We have to educate ourselves, we have to train ourselves, and a human being is one of those beautiful creations of Allah who can educate and train himself in whatever way he wants. If he wants to be a sincere servant, he can train himself. If he wants to be a ruthless person, that also can be done by him easily. So the 2 sides, they are open before us. For the prayers, we have to invest, and looking into one of the other things which helps is that we look into the prayers that were performed by the noble, and looking at the prayers they did, and looking at the faulty prayers that we perform, that way we will be able to do a better service. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Whenever he was stuck, whenever he had problems, how does he ease them? Stands in worship. Riwayat, it says that whenever he had any hajat, any problem,
Muhammad, Ali Muhammad.
Imam, what he does is that he offers 1,000 raka'at of prayers. He fasts for 3 days. He gives sadaqah to 60 needy, and that way he sorts out whatever problem he is having. That is the teaching given to us, that when we get stuck and when we have hajat and problems, stand in worship, offer a 2 rakat prayer, and that way you will be able to ease and to sort out your problems as you go. Rasulullah, he continues with this wasiyyah and says, Ya Aba Dharr, al-dhakir fil ghafilin kal-muqatil fi fil farin. Ya Aba Dharr, al-jalis al-salih khayrun min al-wahdatil wahda. Here he starts mentioning who should be our friend. Can we take anyone to be our friend in this world? Can we associate with anyone? Can we sit with anyone? Can we work with anyone? Or there are etiquettes, there are adab. Here Rasulullah says, sometimes we find that people, they say that isolation is good. Isolation, sometimes it's good, not always. Being in the community is always desired. Being and living in the community is recommended. Saying the prayers in jama'at, it's highly recommended. Isolation, some cases, yes, you can say it helps, but not always. For that, here he has some tips, that when you live in the community and you have people around yourself, we have to communicate, we have to talk. Are we allowed to talk any talk? Or there are limitations, there are restrictions. And for that, we did talk about that yesterday. Here Rasulullah says, Ya Aba Dharr, La tusahib illa mu'minan. That if you want to be a friend with someone, be a friend of a mu'min, not any person. Because that friend of yours, he's going to have an impact on you. If the friend is a mu'min, you will find that after a